Happy Friday. Yes, it's Nikki, and Chip will be back on Monday. He decided to take the day off because he's a slacker. No, he decided to spend some more time with his sons for this early Father's Day. So happy early Father's Day to all the fathers out there. We are going to talk Manafort and Cohen and everything like that and Trump. We'll be following that all day long along with Paul. But there is this meme that I always think about when I'm talking politics with my dad, who is politically opposite than me. And I know that you have people in your family and that you know that are politically opposite than you, where on one side it's like the extreme conservatives and on the other side it's the extreme liberals, and they're just yelling hate at each other, like racist, bigot, you know, baby killer, all those things. And then in the middle is the majority of the population just telling both sides to shut up. And I wish we could get there. You know, I wish that this country wasn't so divided that every single time there is another Trump tweet or another Trump headline or another school shooting or another abortion or another immigration story, that we can sit down, talk about it calmly like adults. And it just seems like we can't even get there. I mean,
What is this calm you speak of?
I know. The calm hasn't happened, honestly, since Trump's election. Everybody kept saying, oh, he'll be more presidential. I don't think that's ever going to happen. But there is a group that is trying as they might, to make it happen. And the group is called Better Angels. And on the KGO Live line right now, I am joined by two members of this organization, Michael Lehman and Kieran O'Connor. Guys, thanks so much for joining me today.
Hey, Nikki. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. Okay, so first off, I'm just going to give the nickel version of what you guys do, and then you tell me if I have it correctly. Your ultimate goal, basically, is to reduce kind of the political hatred between two sides of the political spectrum, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. This is Kieran. You know, we got started because, like you were just saying, you know, we became increasingly alarmed with just the levels of hatred and vitriol that people were directing at each other, you know, even within their families or within the workplace. And we wanted to see if we could bring the two sides together, you know, not necessarily to agree or get folks to change their minds or even really to come to the center, but just to, you know, understand the other side's perspective, because obviously people are increasingly living in filter bubbles, you know, that reinforce their bias. And we all have that, you know, reflexive demonization that we do. And obviously with Trump, you know, it's sort of crystallized. So we got started with a workshop model that's actually based on family therapy, which I think we found to be successful. So we're not just bringing people together to debate or yell at each other, but really to, yeah, like I said, give people the chance to understand the other side in their own words.
What do you think it is about Trump's election? I mean, obviously, I remember I was an Obama supporter. I definitely lean left. And maybe just because my guy was in the White House, I didn't notice so much. But I'm really noticing it now that my guy's not in the White House, how much, like, hate there was. Because I do remember looking back and the racist, you know, drawings and picketing. I mean, the Tea Party events where people were, you know, calling our president a monkey and saying that he was Muslim and that he was a terrorist and all these kinds of things. But he was my president, so I guess I didn't care so much. Now that Trump's in there, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to go out. He doesn't help anything by his tweets. Mm-hmm. He doesn't seem to calm anything down. But what do you think it is about his election? Because we've been divided before. I mean, there's always been Democrats in power and then Republicans in power. What is it about the Trump presidency that led to something like Better Angels that's needed to kind of cool things down?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, in a lot of ways, as you mentioned, Trump in many ways is a symptom, not a cause of polarization. But I think his approach, you know, which can obviously be very divisive, is sort of like, you know, lighter fluid on the problem. But I want to give Michael a chance to jump in. Basically, Michael is one of our lead organizers on the red side. I'm on the blue side. We make sure everything we do at Better Angels is, you know, evenly split.
So you bring the same number of red and blue to each kind of gathering, correct?
Yeah, and in terms of our leadership, you know, our board of directors, we're pretty rigid about that because, you know, if an organization leans too heavily to the one side and they're trying to bring the two sides together, you know, there's a lot of suspicion from the other side.
Sure.
But yeah, Michael, I'd love to hear what you think as a conservative, particularly about Nikki's question about President Trump.
Yeah, well, thanks. First, I just want to echo what Kieran was saying, and I think what's happening now with the current president, with everything that's been happening with the election, is a symptom and not the cause of where we are, but it's certainly accelerated the problem itself, right? And I think you see a lot of difference of opinion, not only between reds and blues, what we call people who are on the right on the left, but I think in between folks who are reds and blues themselves. So I think there's just a lot of polarization between reds and blues that has been exacerbated by what's happening now, and that's why Better Angels is so desperately needed, and that's why I was really lucky to find them a few months ago.
Well, you know, Michael, as someone that is on, let's say, the red side, and going back to what I said about how our President Trump does not seem to like to quell the anger. He doesn't, he seems to add to it with his tweets. He knows exactly kind of what buttons to push. And I find it very difficult to look at him, to lead and to bring the two sides together. So is that kind of the hole that the organizations like Better Angels can fill? Because I'm not finding it at the White House. I'm not finding, you know, any sort of message or effort even to kind of be like, okay, we might disagree on this, but let's try and find what we do agree on.
I think you're absolutely right. And what I think a group like Better Angels brings that is different and unique is a bottom-up approach to this, realizing that this is going to be something, this problem took a while to manifest itself, this problem of polarization. And we didn't get into it in a day or a year or 10 years. It can take a while to get out of it, and it won't be fixed from the top down. I think you're seeing a lot of grassroots movement in this direction, and that's going to be really important in actually, I think, trying to stem this tide.
So when you guys get people together, is it at a bar? I mean, do you eat? Do you drink? What goes on?
This is Kieran again. I think, well, you know, as Michael said, we're really a bottom-up grassroots organization. So we do workshops wherever a local community can find a space. So this could be a community center. It could be a place of worship. Okay. It could be the local union hall. And if people want to do a workshop, we basically say you need to get someone of the opposite side to co-organize with.
Right.
So, you know, if you're a progressive in San Francisco who wants to have a workshop, you need to go out and find a conservative and then organize the workshop. And, you know, we find that when we actually bring people together in a structured environment, you know, they oftentimes are able to clarify the disagreements, which enable folks to illuminate where there is common ground.
Hold on. We're going to take a quick break because I want to actually want you to walk me through how one of these things goes, because I want you to explain how when, you know, children are being separated from parents and kids are getting shut up in schools, how you have a calm conversation with both sides. I am talking to Kieran O'Connor and Michael Lehman. They are with the group Better Angels. Their ultimate goal is to get this polarization to die down and to conversations to really start between Americans. I'm Nikki Maduro, in for Chip. This is KGO. Hey, it's Nikki in for Chip this afternoon. Happy Friday. Chip will be back on Monday. Right now, we are talking to Michael Lehman and Kieran O'Connor. They're with this organization called Better Angels. And basically, they want to end the polarization politically between Americans by starting these workshops in local communities where they have these conversations. And full disclosure, I have donated you guys to your organization. I completely am on board with your entire mission. I hope you guys are successful because, as I've mentioned on air many, many times, I am the political opposite of my father. Even though we are very, very close, we talk, it hasn't led to any sort of like family rift. Trump's election was a very big deal in my house. It was a lot of fighting, and we've just decided, you know, we can't talk politics. My kids even say it. If we're all together and any Trump's mentioned, anything political is mentioned, my kids know, no politics. in this house because it just ends up into being a screaming match. And so I'm really, really interested in how you guys are getting this done. So, Michael, let me start with you. Kind of explain to me how these workshops work. Before the break, you said you have to have an equal number of reds and blues that are coming to the table. How are the topics chosen? How does that work?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So our flagship workshop is a day-long event, usually held on Saturdays, like a 10 to 5 kind of deal, with five reds and five blues, or up to seven reds and seven blues, with two neutral moderators and then observers.
Okay.
Everything's off the record. And the beginning of the workshop is what really set it apart in my mind, because we go over some ground rules before we even dive in to any of the talks. And we say that we aren't here to change anyone's mind. We're going to be respectful of everybody, and you can't roll your eyes, you can't sigh, you can't be exasperated when you hear somebody say a different opinion than you have.
Oh, that's got to be so difficult. I mean, how do you even find people? I mean, you have to be a certain type of person to even want to go to one of these workshops, right?
You know, Karen.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Nikki's question, I think, you know, there's always going to be a certain level of self-selection bias. But I think a lot of people with really dug-in views are sort of curious about the other side and also really want to express their views to the other side. Mm. And so, you know, as we've managed to, you know, gain trust with both sides, since we are bipartisan, we've found that, you know, even people who have really strongly held ideological positions will come to our workshops. You know, it's not just all moderates.
Right.
You know, we've had far left socialists and far right Christian conservatives come together. And, you know, even if they disagree on 90% of the issues, they start to build a little bit of a relationship. They start to build a little bit of trust. And then you can sort of see where, okay, maybe we can find that 10% where we might be able to work together.
Okay. And then so how are the topics? Do they come with an idea of what they kind of want to talk about or share their viewpoint on?
So we actually, I think this is one of the keys to making the workshop a success, is that it's pretty carefully structured. So one of the things we'll do is what we call a fishbowl exercise. And this will give the participants a chance to express their positions and listen to the other side without directly engaging. So, for example, we put all the liberals in a circle in the center in chairs, and then all the conservatives would be sitting around them. And when the liberals are in the middle, only they can talk, and the conservatives outside are just listening and taking notes.
Mm.
So this will give the liberals a chance to really express themselves in their own words and give the conservatives a chance to just listen. And there isn't that sort of natural defensiveness and argumentative nature that you see when people are, you know, just waiting to make their next point.
Right, because it's kind of like a safe circle there with people like, I know these people are probably going to agree with how I'm thinking about this topic.
Yeah, and I think people also find it valuable because, again, you know, people get their news from Fox News or MSNBC or their Twitter accounts. And a lot of times people come from communities where they don't even – you know, talk to a Trump supporter, or in more red communities, they don't even talk to a liberal. So a lot of times people can be pretty surprised, and they can sort of understand, you know, even if you support Trump, that doesn't mean that you necessarily support all of his positions. And so it really just brings nuance back to the political discussion.
I just love that you use that word, Karen. I love that word, nuanced.
Yes, it's definitely in short supply these days.
Exactly. I mean, and so, and I also understand, so like, let's just say we're talking about gun control or whatever. And so you talk about what you support of it, and then maybe like the negative or something that you might give in a little bit on it. Is there that give and take between each side? Because sometimes people just look like, if you think, for instance, that abortion is the murdering of children, I don't know how I could sit in a circle and even come to some sort of neutral ground with those that are just observing around me. Those hot button issues, I just feel like are no-goes.
Totally. And I guess the key point there is that it's okay to not have neutral ground. You know, it's okay to have these strong disagreements. You know, somebody could be like ardently pro-life and ardently pro-choice, and those people are not going to, you know, find a policy compromise on abortion. but they can still sort of better understand the other side's perspective and start to build that relationship where they can talk to one another and sort of maybe reestablish some of that nuance. But of course, you know, we're not trying to paper over these strong disagreements that people have about, you know, politics and public policy. But we're trying to sort of reduce the stereotyping that we all do that's kind of driving the two sides further apart and making people feel that somehow engaging with the other side is traitorous to your own side or is akin to surrendering your own perspective, which is really not true and is sort of a threat to our whole democratic experiment
here. Yeah, because it kind of seems like, I know a lot of people say this, it's like if you can support Trump's decision in XYZ issue, I can't be friends with you. I don't know you. That alone, I can never agree with you. There's never a middle there. But it seems to me that you're kind of saying, okay, we're not going to agree on it, but I can understand where you're coming from. You can understand where I'm coming from. We can do whatever we need to do on the side of, like, you know, if you want to protest, if you want to write your congressperson, but we could still sit down civilly, have a conversation, and it'd be kind of a, I don't know if it's a agree to disagree type thing, but kind of find it just a listening more than an arguing.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think both of you guys have acknowledged this. We live in a society where we surround ourselves with those who agree with us and we avoid anyone
exactly.
who doesn't agree.
Mm-hmm.
And in isolation from the other side, it's all too easy to let caricatures and stereotypes of the other side grow and solidify in our minds. And then as a result, we don't see the other side humanely or accurately. And it's like we all agree at the end after these workshops and we're all thrilled that we found so much common ground. We occasionally find common ground, but at the end of the day, people think very differently politically. But here's the real takeaway. We have a much better idea of what the other side actually thinks and why they think that. And so we can have a much better and productive dialogue going forward.
It's very important. I think, you know, we really need to get there. That's, again, why I support your organization. I really would like to get there because it's so easy, especially in our field. I mean, we're in the media news business. We have to talk about these things. Sometimes I just wish that it was just like, okay, I feel this way. You feel that way. We disagree, but there's things we can agree on in life, and I can like you for other reasons. And, you know, I really commend what you guys are doing. I hope that it spreads. Your guys' website, if people want to get involved or host their own, better-angels.org. And, you know, Michael, Kieran, thank you so much for joining me, and good luck with all of this.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Nikki. Have a good weekend.
You too. All right, so again, that's better-angels.org if you want to get involved. Because it's true. I mean, the arguing needs to end. There's going to be an after Trump. You're still going to be with hopefully your friends and your family that you know right now. And the yelling and the screaming and the stereotypes is not going to help. I hope that we can get past it. But I also wish that Trump would stop making all these situations worse. All right, coming up, why less screen time may actually be bad for your kids, but parents, you still need to stay off the phone. That's next on KGO.